And good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. This is your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another wonderful and awesome episode of Larry's Biblecast today. How are you guys doing today? Hopefully you're doing so good, so good this morning or whatever time you're listening to this. Listen, I want to just really, as always, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this wonderful listening audience of Larry's Biblecast. And so we are just continuing on a roll here, going through the book of Romans. And today we are going through the book of Romans chapter 12. And I'll tell you this in advance. For the first time, I actually recorded this episode out of my car. I tried something different. I know sometimes I have a little extra time in between one of my breaks. I'm not a full-time podcaster. I'm a part-time podcaster pretty much until the Lord sees fit that I can expand, you know, and become more like that. My desire is really to really just share God's word, and this is more of a more of a passion project of mine, and so I enjoy doing it. I've been doing this for a while now, and I actually enjoy it because not only am I learning from God's word and just enjoying sharing God's word with you all out there, but I'm also understanding the benefit and what God is doing in the lives of others. And so I see y'all out there. I see the not only the comments, but I also see the growth of the podcast and how the God's word is expanding and going out into the world. And again, I'm just one of many voices that has a podcast and using this platform to be able to share God's word. And so I'm just really excited and very honored that the Lord can use someone like me, just like, you know, some of you, you know, I always encourage you guys to find out what it is that God wants you to do, whether it be a podcast, whether it be a YouTube channel, whether it be something that, regardless, it's not a matter of how many people, whether it's one or two, because the Bible does say when two or more are gathering in his name, that he is in the midst. So listen, you know, you're just someone that is, say, planting the seed, and that's what I'm doing. So I pray that the word of God is going out and is planting the seed in the lives of many people, regardless of whether you're listening to me from here in the United States or from another country. Thanks to Spotify, which is the platform that I'm now using, and is also being able to distribute this podcast among all the different platforms that you can hear me on. So wherever you can get a podcast or listen to podcasts from, you should be able to look me up. And I'm again, as always, if this is your first time, thank you, and I welcome you. I welcome you to be here and take a listen to what I'm talking about. And for the most part, I'm just I'm not a accredited Bible teacher for that matter. I just kind of read God's word, and we kind of, you know, expound on it, just talk a little bit about it, talk about the scriptures. And through that talking, a lot of times we're kind of, you know, getting enlightened by certain things that we're actually seeing in which God is doing. So I think it's pretty amazing. So anyway, just want to thank you again, as always, please subscribe and share this podcast to others so that others can be able to listen and hear. Please subscribe as well. So if you subscribe, that means that, you know, you get notified whenever there is a new episode that I put out. Some for the most part, I've been able to get an episode out a week, each week. So with every new week, you'll get a new episode. So hopefully, if nothing else comes up in my life, in my personal life, I can continue to just be able to record and have something fresh and new for you all. So right now, like I said before, we're getting into the book of Romans, and this today we're doing Romans chapter 12, and just a wonderful, another wonderful episode that I hope that you'll benefit. And here I will always encourage and want to encourage you to read your Bibles, pray constantly for this whole year. Since January 1st of 2024, I've been encouraging all of us to pursue God with all our lives. Okay, there is no, you know, a lot of times we make New Year's resolutions and everything. And I'm not saying that I'm not totally against that. Me personally, I do not make New Year's resolutions, but I do like to set a goal for every year. And that is whether you want to call it a resolution or not. And this one is just spiritual. This is more or less pursue God, get closer, a closer walk and closer relationship with God. And that is always through prayer, through fasting, through, you know, dedication, consecration toward Him. I really want to impress on all of us to make this year a year in which you make it your business, your goal to really press in and get closer to the Lord, reading your Bible more as well as praying and stuff. But it's really important to take that time out of your day, whether it's your morning, the middle of the day, whether at night, it doesn't matter when it is, but really, really pursue God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You know, it's one thing to go to church. That's good. And I highly recommend that. That's on top of my list, to fellowship with other believers, get taught by a pastor that is good in the word, but also study the word. You know, your pastor, he does a good job, or she does a good job on a Sunday when you go and fellowship with other believers. But during the week, you need to be opening that Bible. You need to be praying. You need to be really pressing in. You know, a lot of us, we go to the gym and we press in for health and do all these other things physically for our physical body. But the spiritual man needs to be fed and the spiritual man needs to grow. And so, listen, your relationship gets stronger. Your knowledge of the Bible gets stronger. You begin to get more in tune to God, get to know Him more. And it's a relationship like anything. And so I want to always continue to encourage you to just keep pressing in to God, you know, keep pursuing Him, keep pursuing the Lord every single day of your life. Amen. So that's enough from me. Stay tuned now for this next awesome episode. Sit back and relax and enjoy this episode of Larry's Biblecast. So let's get into God's word today. Today I'm doing something a little bit different today. I decided to go ahead and do this recording from my car, believe it or not. So I'm not sure how the sound quality is going to be, but wanted to see about just see how this comes out. So let me know how you guys enjoy it. I guess as long as you can hear me, that's all that matters, right? So anyway, let's get into today's scripture reading out of the book of Romans. Hopefully you guys have been following along with me out of the book of Romans, going through the different chapters of the book of Romans. I think Romans is such a wonderful book, and it's a wonderful letter that Paul has written to the believers in the Church of Rome. And we see that I guess some of the letters look like they had been addressed to the Jewish people, because Paul was Jewish, but also he also wrote letters to the Church of Rome. For some reason, it looks like it was also delivered to the Gentiles as well. So we can read in other chapters that we've already gone through that there are certain, this seems to be certain letters that, or certain parts of these chapters that were addressed to specifically to the Gentile people as well, which I thought that was really, really good and very interesting. So I highly recommend going back and checking out some of my other episodes as well. And that way you can kind of catch up and see what I was talking about in some of those other episodes. So without further ado, let's get into Romans chapter 12, and we're gonna just kind of wing it and see how far we can go with this, and and, you know, just see if we can get through the entire chapter today. So today's chapter is out of is entitled A Living Sacrifice to God. So this is a living sacrifice to God. And he starts off by saying in verse 1, he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." Okay, this is really good. So he starts off by saying, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." It's interesting, right? Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. All right. So this is a very good verse, actually, for us as believers to memorize, because of the simple fact that what matters most to God is that we give our lives 100% to him. Why? Because, you know, in other words, in this walk that you have with the Lord, it is a relationship. How many of you out there, like myself, is married? Do you, you know, as a husband or wife, do you give yourself 50% to your husband or to your wife? Or do you give yourself 100% to your husband or your wife? Okay, it is a relationship, and it is an ongoing relationship. Do you start off, husbands, do you start off giving only, giving 100%, and then later on down through the years, you only give 50%? No, you're supposed to always give 100% over to your wife of yourself, your attention, your love, your commitment to your wife. The same thing it is, wives to your husbands. You're supposed to give yourself fully over to them. There is no such thing, even though sometimes, you know, we like our own time and we like to do things separately sometimes. But when it comes down to it, if your wife needs you for whatever reason, then you have to give her the attention that she needs. And the same thing it is, wives to your husbands. So there is no such thing. When you start doing that, that's when the enemy likes to come into your marriage and separate the two of y'all. See, so it's important to make sure that you're keeping your commitment to your wife 100% of your devotion to her, and 100% wives to your husband. The same thing. So you don't want to have a half-hearted devotion. Now, back to what I was saying on the scriptures here. It says what Paul is saying. "And so, dear brothers and sisters," he says, "I plead with you," you know, I beg you basically, "to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice." There's two descriptive words here about what he's talking about giving your bodies to God. He says, "Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will," what? "Accept." Okay, or we'll find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. How many times have we either go to church or we say we worshiping the Lord or what have you? The true way to worship him is to give your life over to him fully as a living and holy sacrifice. You know, I also, when I think of sacrifice, I think of the Old Testament when they gave the animal a sacrifice to the Lord. They put the animal onto the altar and they killed the animal. They killed whether it was a lamb or whether it was a goat or whether it was a cow or a bull or whatever it was. It was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice, and it was considered holy sacrifice. That means it was unblemished and it was totally committed. So that is what the Lord wants from us. He doesn't want us, of course, you know, of course, killing ourselves. He wants our undivided attention. He wants our unwavering commitment to him. He doesn't want to share your commitment to other idols. Okay? I don't want to say he doesn't want to share your commitment with your husband and your wife or your family. He knows that you have those things. He understands you have a job. He understands that you have responsibilities. He understands that you have a husband and wife and a family to tend to, and family functions and all kind of other things, whether you have a mother or father you're taking care of, or a grandparent or what have you, or a child or a grandchild, whatever your situation may be. So he's not talking about you doing something to where you just giving all your attention to God and you're not giving attention to your family. Matter of fact, what I have discovered is when you give the Lord first his attention, when you wake up in the morning and you pray and you ask the Lord to give you the mindset and give you the direction and guidance, he will show you how to be a better husband, better wife, better parent, better grandparent, or whatever role that you are playing in your personal life, because God wants to make sure that you are living a balanced life. So there will never be a time where there should be people in your life that say that they're being neglected because you're just doing nothing but doing church and doing reading your Bible and staying away from them and neglecting the attention that they need, because the Lord won't do that. See, living the Christian life is a balanced life. It's not a devotion to the Lord to where you're totally devoted to him and you're not devoted to no one else. See, so a lot of times when we do that, now when a person does that, that simply means that they're unbalanced. Excuse me, they're unbalanced. So that means the Lord, he's not telling you that you should neglect any part of your family. But he's not a God of disorder, and he's not a God that will break up your family. So there is ways you have to allow God to direct you and guide you on which way to go in your life. Amen. So let's continue on here. I know I kind of went a little long on that one verse, but it really says a lot in this verse. I would like for some of y'all that listen to this, tell me, to in your opinion, what does it mean when it says about giving your bodies over to the Lord, and giving them as a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will accept. Okay, so let me know, leave me a comment in the podcast to let me know what you feel about this. So verse 2 is a very good one as well. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, this is another. I know I said the first verse is a good one to memorize, but this one also is Romans 12 and 2. Don't copy of the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So of course, we're going to stop here and talk about this one too. So listen, it starts off by saying, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. What are the behavior and customs of this world? What do you think they're talking about? They may be talking about things that involve strife, destruction, anger, doing things that are illegal, doing things that are against the law, doing things that harm people, doing things that offend people, doing things that are self-serving for you and your own benefit. Putting yourself above others. And it's a lot of those things. When you look around you and you see what people do out there in the world, it's telling you, don't copy those behaviors. Don't copy the behaviors. Don't copy the customs of this world. There's a lot of things that the world, and when he says the world, he's not just talking about planet Earth. He's talking about the system. He's talking about the way people operate away from God and against God. there's a lot of people that won't follow God. There's a lot of people that hate God. There's a lot of people that don't believe in God. See, so these people out here, they're following the customs of the world, but they're doing their own thing. They have no kind of regard for God. They have no moral compass. And even if they do have a moral compass, they will never acknowledge God in their life. They feel, I know I'm doing well. I know I'm doing good. And I adjust the way I think. However many times I said, I did this. I is me. I decide what is right. I decide what is good. I decide. See? So there is no God in that. There is no God in that. So when a person is just thinking of themselves, they are the ones that's on the throne, not God. God is not anywhere in their mind, in their conduct of the way they live and the way they and what they do. This is part of the behavior and the customs of this world. Okay, so it's very important to understand that. And the Bible tells us, and the scripture tells us right here in 12 or Romans 12 and 2, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. But instead, you see the transition here. But let God do what? Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, there's not a person that should ever say that God is not trying to change the way you think. God is trying to change the way you think. And listen to this. And I say this again because there's so many people that speak against Christianity, speak against living for the Lord, living for God, the Bible, all kind of stuff. And I hear a lot of the comments. I see a lot of, you know, because we have social media, you see a lot as well. You know, we have to understand that God does want to change the way you think. See, the way we think sometimes is wrong. The way we think is just the way the world thinks. So God wants to, when you get into a relationship with the Lord, He wants to change your mind. He wants to change your course of direction of what you do. See, the things that you used to do, He says that those are wrong. Okay, those are wrong. Those aren't godly, and this is not going to please God either. And you're not going to find the will of God in these things. So, a lot of times when we pray, and I know some of us might be listening right now, we might be either new Christians or maybe new believers, and just learning what God wants from me. Start off by praying and asking the Lord these things, praising Him. First of all, praise Him. First of all, when you pray, always exalt the Lord. Always exalt Him. Always give Him praise, honor, adoration. He is the one who created you. He is the one that loves you. He is the one that provides for you and protects you each and every day. So start off with praise and adoration. Then begin to go in and of course, you know, bring your situations and your issues and your problems, things that you desire in your heart. And the Lord will kind of, you know, navigate you through your life and show you what is important, what we're going to work on, what the things we're going to do. Listen, the most important thing, because so many people, they're trying to do self-help and they think, well, I'm going to listen to this here, you know, self-help books and podcasts and stuff like that out there. And there, it doesn't include the Lord. It doesn't include the Lord. And not to say that some of those habits aren't good habits, but if you don't include the Lord in them, if you don't include God in them, God will help guide you and direct you. And so like it says, but let God, transform you into a new person. What do you think about that? Being a new person. See, being a new person. Those of you that have committed your life to the Lord are now committed to being a new person. You already are okay with God changing the way you think. You're okay with walking in step with God. Okay? So you're saying to God that I am 100% committed to Him. And I love you, and I trust you, and I trust that everything that you do for me is for me and is best for me. See? And so this is a wonderful thing, what Paul is saying here. He says, then let's go to the second part of this verse. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is what? Good and pleasing and perfect. Listen, there are so many of us that you're going to run into people that want to live their own life. Matter of fact, they will make it to where you should live your own life, and you shouldn't have to ask God anything. This is the way of the world, the flow of the world. So we have to decide, saints, whether or not you're going to go with the world. And I don't care who it is. I don't care whether it's somebody in your family, somebody in your home, someone at your job, or somebody that's very influential. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Okay? And ask the Lord sincerely. Go to Him each and every day. Talk to Him each and every day. If you're confused about something, ask Him. Don't always depend on someone to tell you. Sometimes the Lord will give you the direction that you want, even the answer to your question. So do that. So here's what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick short break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. So this is your guy, Larry. And we're going to do, in between the segment here, we're going to do a little bit of the devotional that we normally have sometimes in between our segments today. So let us get into, from the Bible YouVersion app, of a devotional called Make Spaces for What Matters. And today's devotional is out of Spiritual Habits, which is meditation. So how many of you all do meditation? And I know that there's several things on meditation when it comes to, you know, getting your mind centered and focused, you know, getting ready for the day and whatnot and things like that. But to me, it all depends when you are doing a meditation. What is your mind focused on? A lot of people, you know, I hear them talk about meditation, and I'm not going to say outright that meditation is wrong, in order to get your mind, ready for the day or whatnot, but I would prefer, especially as a Christian, as a believer, the Bible tells us to meditate on God's word. And it's important to, you know, with all the things that you hear about meditation, about, you know, people kind of getting their center focused and stuff like that, you hear kind of these verbiages that you hear when it comes to meditation. And you know, it appear to be like a mental thing that's, you know, people, I feel like people want to have. And it's kind of a mental refreshing, I guess you want to call it. I personally have never done that type of meditation before. What I do is I usually wake up in the morning and I say my prayers before I start my day. Before I go and you know, go out to, you know, get in my car and, you know, go driving or go to work. And that's because you want the Lord to prepare your day, or to get before you by His Spirit and prepare your day going forward. You know, you don't know what you're going to encounter as you go throughout your day, whether you go to work or whether, you know, wherever you go. Me personally, you know, I'm always praying before I go to work, because you don't know what things that you will encounter when you go to work. So it's very important to, you know, pray to the Lord and also meditate on his scriptures. What I like to do is I like to read either the Bible verse of the day, or I like to read a devotional. That is pretty good. It helps you kind of think about what is important, what things are important in your life, especially when you're focusing your attention on the Lord. So those are the things that I personally like to do and choose to do when it comes to meditation. It's a spiritual habit. So let's read this here, this devotion, what it says. It says, work, school, relationships, health issues, bills, global pandemics. With so much going on in our lives, it's easy to get distracted from things we actually want our lives to be about. So pause for a moment and take a deep breath. As you exhale, envision laying down whatever worries or distractions are competing for your attention. Then focus on these words: the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty give me life. Think about that verse for a moment. Reread it slowly and pay attention to every word. As you reflect on that passage, consider this: your breath is sustained by the one who breathed in you into existence. Although life may feel overwhelming at times, you are never far from the God who created and called you by name. Pause again. What you just walked through was a simple example of scripture meditation. Meditation is referred to multiple times in the Bible as a way for followers of God to refocus and reflect on his word. Meditation is not something that can be done in your own strength. It involves drawing near to God and asking him to make his thoughts and ways known to us. Biblical meditation helps us to see our circumstances from a holy perspective, because we are allowing what is holy to influence our perspectives. When we choose to set aside time to meditate on scripture, we are choosing to shift our focus onto God and his word and off of ourselves and our world. We are allowing God to transform our thoughts and reshape our world views. So as you prepare for the weeks ahead, try intentionally fixing your mind on God and his word every single day. So we're going to read some scriptures that go along with this. And this is the first scripture that we're going to read, is out of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says simply this: study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And then the next scripture we're going to read is out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And it says this: and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Okay. The next one is out of Psalms 119, chapter 119, verse 15. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. And then the next one is also out of Psalms
chapter 104, verse 34. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. And then the last one we have here is out of the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Think about what I am saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. So this is very, very important. If you notice that all the scripture passages that we read in today's devotional has everything to do with where you fix your mind at, your thoughts, the thought patterns. Remember, a lot of times we think of so many things that are happening in our world, and we focus on that. We focus on, you know, things that you know, that we can't control, situations that may stress us out, may give us anxiety. But the Bible tells us to focus on him, focus on not on the problem, but focus on the Lord, who will help us deal with the problem. Sometimes the Lord will deal with the problem, but at the end of the day, we have to focus and have faith in him, not the problem, not the situation at hand. And a lot of times when we decide to focus our attention on that, it helps us with our anxiety. It helps us with worry. It helps us with not having that much faith like we should. We should have more faith. But a lot of times, because we are thinking so much about a situation, whether it's finances or our health or our jobs or you know, how are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? You know, a lot of times we're thinking about these things, and it's not always good. It's not always good that we keep our minds focused on those things. It stresses us out. It keeps us anxiety, and we're not having faith in the Lord. See, a lot of times, even though the problems that we have is real, but we're not having enough faith in the Lord. We're not giving it over to him. A lot of times we say we do. We might pray about it, and then later on you start thinking about it all over again, and we start worrying all over again. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. He doesn't want us to you know, when he says give it to him and walk away from it. There's so many times we read in the Bible where people either believe in Jesus Christ and they believe in the miracles he do, and they show that they have faith in Jesus. You can tell that this is something that the Lord, he likes that when we have faith. He if you notice, there's a lot of scriptures where you see Jesus is very you know, happy and joyful when it comes to people believing in him and trusting in him. And how many knows that Jesus and God is the same, the Son of God. And so what made Jesus happy in the scriptures is what made God happy. So the next time when you have so much going on in your life, going on in your mind, in your heart, your spirit, look, don't focus on those things. Focus on the Lord. Focus on his word. Open his word up. Open the Bible up and read through his word. And pick out some of these scriptures that I've even mentioned about focusing on the Lord. Okay, you know, he is much powerful, more stronger than any of our circumstances that we go through, even things that go on in the world. Sometimes we get stressed out, we watch the news and stuff like that, and there's things and problems out there that we can't solve, and it's not even up for us to solve. So I just wanted to share that with you today. I wanted to share this devotional with you. Hopefully you're enjoying the podcast as you're listening to it, and we'll get right back into it. So again, thank you as always, and we'll get right back into today's podcast episode. All right, so welcome back. So let's get into the next verse of scripture here, and this is going to be in verse 3 of Romans chapter I'm sorry. I was saying chapter 11, or maybe I did say chapter 11 for you guys, but I meant to say Romans chapter 12. So hopefully you haven't gotten you confused as to where I was at, but I'm in Romans chapter 12. So we read Romans chapter 12, a living sacrifice to God. And we were at verse 1 and verse 2. So now we're going to go ahead and get into verse 3. And it says here, it says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. All right, let's continue on to verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So let's talk about this a little bit. So it says here, he says, because of the privilege and authority God has given him, he says he wants to give each and every one of you a warning. Okay. And so he says, don't think you are better than you really are. He wants us to be humble. He wants to make sure that we have an attitude of humility at all times. So one thing that's really bad in our society today is pride. Okay. Pride meaning being boastful, being arrogant, thinking that you are more than other people sometimes. In other words, you know, it's one thing to be prideful and proud of your work, proud of an accomplishment that you have done, you know, just being, you know, prideful about that. But what he's talking about here is he's talking about don't think you are better than you really are. Now, it's also, I want to say that is, especially if you are the type of person that you are thinking that you're better than someone else. Okay. This will cause a bad attitude. This will cause a division between you and whoever it may be that you feel that you're more than others. And listen, we could, you know, we do this to ourselves a lot. A lot of times if we're believers, if we're Christians, and sometimes some of us have been in church and being a Christian for a very long time, sometimes we think we're better than somebody that had just started going to church or just start being a Christian, start reading the Bible. Sometimes maybe you run into a person that hasn't read the Bible very much, but you're a person that know all kind of scripture and everything is just, you know how to memorize scripture. You should not look down on somebody that doesn't know scripture that well, you know, that they're still learning. Don't look down upon them. Even when it comes to skills, and not just spiritual skills, but just skills in general. Maybe you know more. Maybe you are a little bit more educated than someone. And that's in the context of if you're in a relationship with somebody that you know somebody. Maybe you're a coworker or a companion to somebody. Don't put them down. Don't put them down and make them feel less than, or just because you feel some like you know it all. Don't use that. This is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about don't think that you are better than you really are. He says be honest in your evaluation of yourself. You know, the worst type of person is what they call a narcissist. The worst type of person that he or she feel that I've done nothing wrong and I'm better than most. You know, and you have this high and mighty attitude. And you know that right there, God doesn't like that. God doesn't like that. He says here, he says, be honest in your evaluation, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Hear that again. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. So listen, it's very important to not be measuring yourselves about how good you are to other people. You know, comparing yourself to other people. You know, there's always somebody better than you. There's always somebody that knows more than you. And just because you know more than someone else doesn't make you that much better than them. So God will put everybody on an equal playing field. You know who knows more than all of us is God himself. And at some point, you have to learn that you're going to have to be humble and surrender and submit yourself to God himself. So we are all under him. Okay, so let's continue on here. So verse 4, as I was reading, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Now this here, if you notice here, Paul transitions to the body of Christ. Okay, and sometimes we read the scripture and we talk about, you know, the roles in the church, the local church, whether you are an usher, that's helping to usher people to their seats, a greeter that greets the guests when they come to the church, maybe somebody that works in the parking lot to try to usher people into the parking lot. Maybe you are a deacon in the church that you lead in prayer. Maybe you might be a worship leader that you're ahead of the worship team or the praise team. Maybe you are a preacher. Maybe you are a minister. Maybe you are the pastor of the church. But even the higher up you go, the higher up that you have as far as in leadership, the more responsibility that you have, but also the more servitude and the more humility that you should have. The higher positions, whether it be a pastor or a preacher or anybody that you may see that may be on the stage, they should have the most humility, okay? They should have the most humility because why? Because they are the ones that they are under higher scrutiny under God to do what they're supposed to do. Never ever think that just because a pastor is a pastor or a minister being a minister or a choir leader or some leader in the church, a deacon, doesn't mean that they should be high and mighty, or they use their leadership as a way to put others down or to take advantage of people. And when I mean take advantage, there's so many ways that leaders over the years and through the local church have taken advantage of people. Sometimes, and I hate to say this, it is so downgrading and evil to know that these things happen in the church. But you got pastors that unfortunately abuse other members of the church in ways of either verbal abuse, sexual abuse, or whatnot. These things should never, ever be done in a church, okay? Same thing with a minister. Same thing with a deacon, any leaders. You all have the most responsibility under God and will be held to a higher accountability to God himself. If you have this responsibility or this leadership role in the church. So we have to remember that we are all one body. And whether you are a leader of the church or not, you have a part to play in the body of Christ. Nobody in the body of Christ is less, or their role is less than. Okay? So, and this falls under, let's going back to the very first verse about, or actually the second verse, about don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Do you know that when you find incidents in the church, okay, and I'm talking about in the local church, when you see scandals breaking out in the church, when pastors are stealing money, pastors are abusing the church members, pastors are doing things that are according to the world's culture and customs of the world. They're influencing you and trying to get you to be act out in a way that is like the world. That shouldn't be done. That's acting according to the customs and copying the behaviors of the world in the church. And guess what? As I said before, God will hold you accountable for the things that you do. Because why? Because if God has blessed you to be a leader, then be a good leader and be humble and be submissive to God. If you're submissive to God, then you're submissive to his people. So it's very, very important that that as a leader, you are understanding the weight of your responsibility. So let's continue on here. So in verse 4, I've already read that. So verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. See, everybody has a gift. Everybody has a gift in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, in the local church, everybody has a gift. Okay? If God has called you to preach, then preach. And preach with honesty. Don't let your opinion be your opinion. Preach with the Spirit of God leading you and guiding you. Like a parent, when a parent is supposed to be dealing with their children, a parent's job is to discipline, but the parent's job is to do it lovingly to the point where that child knows that everything that comes from their mother and father is the right thing. Not abusive, and not a way that is verbally abusive, physically abusive, or any of that matter. Make sure that what you are called to do, you're doing it with humility and servanthood. Don't use your ability to be abusive to anyone. And that's so sad, because a lot of us have come out of the church with church hurt. And a lot of us have been abused. And so because of that, we don't want to attend church, and we don't want to be a part of a church. We are scarred from what has been done to us in a church. So don't be the person that has caused a person to run away from the church. Okay? These people, God has held you accountable. God will hold you accountable if you are a part of that. We should be loving and kind to people at all times, because God is watching. God is watching. He's observing. He's observing your motives and why you want to do what you do. So understand that. Verse 9 says, don't just pretend to love. He says, really love them. Okay? Let's read that again. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. There it is again. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. And do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Okay? So, and the last verse is, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. I want to point something out that we just got through reading here. When he says, when Paul says here, let's see, right here, he quotes this verse in verse 19. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. And this is out of Deuteronomy 32 and 35. I'm going to tell you, and I've experienced this in my life. And this is in regarding to the church. I have been, I remember being in a church where, you know, unfortunately the leadership or the leader was taking advantage. I felt taking advantage of the people. And I remember going through the situation and I was really angry and really upset about it. And so the Lord began to deal with me because of the part that I played, meaning that the verbiage or the talking about the church and talking about the leadership and talking about the pastor, it was wrong. Now, I'm not going to say that it was not right for the person, the pastor of the church to do what they were doing, but it was wrong for me to also participate in talking bad about the pastor or about the church, you see? So I will say this. This verse is very important because when it says here, it says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Some of you all that have been through like what I've been through, going through some kind of incident or situation at a church or maybe a ministry you was a part of, your job is not to talk or slander the church that you left. Okay? Your job, not really a job, but your focus should be upon healing yourself and pursuing the Lord. The Lord will deal with what has happened. It is not up to us. It's not even up to us to keep looking back to see if they got theirs. This is a human emotion. A lot of times we get hurt and we get upset and we want to make sure that they are held accountable to what they've done. And I get it. It's hard. It's something that we as human beings, we want vengeance. We want retribution. We want something to happen to what was done to us or a group of us. Okay. And guess what? God says, I will take revenge and I will pay back. And listen, even when he say that, it doesn't mean we read it and then we gonna have this attitude where, yeah, he gonna get you. No. Let us start walking away from that and pray for them. You know what it says here? He says, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Okay? So let's tackle that statement right there. If you're in a situation, whether it's a church situation, relationship situation, or what have you, the person that you have done you wrong, sometimes they might be in a situation where they're gonna need your help. They may need your help. They might be in a situation. It says, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. You know what? It could mean that, you know, virtually, but what I mean is literally, okay, literally give them something to eat and something to drink. But it also could mean that they may be in a situation that once they have done you wrong, and then there may be a time in your life where you have to be kind to them. You have to turn around and see, a lot of us, we're so quick to say, you that's karma. You didn't got what you get. So now you're going to stay in it. So this is not what the scriptures are telling us. And remember, as we read earlier in this chapter, it says, do not be transformed or be transformed. I'm sorry, be transformed or let God transform the way you think. Okay. I almost said another verse that I thought about, But it says, don't copy of the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So as he goes, as we read throughout the rest of this chapter, we see examples of what could happen. We see examples of us not being prideful, not thinking highly that we are, that more than who we ought to be, or thinking more highly than we should be. Also evaluating ourselves, also measuring ourselves through the faith that we have in the Lord. Let the Lord change your mind, your heart, the way you think, and your attitude. Okay, this will help us. And all the things he said, as Paul begins to talk about the gifts and everything else, and do those well. Do the gifts that he give you well, the skills that you have. But don't think of it you higher or more important than anyone else. Because guess what? Like he says, we are all part of one body. Whether you're in the local church or whether we're in the body of Christ, it doesn't matter. But listen what he says. And at the end of this, as we come to a close, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. You see, God out of everybody knows our heart. He knows whether you are pretending to love somebody, or are you doing it with a motive, or are you doing something to with a motive of saying, well, I'm going to do this, but this is what they need to remember. You holding record of all the things you've done so that in case y'all get into it again, you want to throw all the good things you've done for them. See, that's not love. That's not love. You're pushing it to where I'm going to do this, and therefore I'm going to make sure that they remember this. Or maybe somebody have done you wrong, and then you walk away and say, well, I'm going to make sure God gets you, because guess what? Karma is coming for you. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say that. Some people even use the scriptures by saying you're going to reap what you sow. And that might be true, but it's not up to us. Let the Lord, like you said, let the Lord deal with that. I can tell you from personal experience that I had to turn away, even though I was hurt, even though I was upset. I had to turn away and allow the Lord to deal with whatever the situation was. And listen, people would still come to me and ask me, did you hear about this? Did you hear what's going on over there? Hey, you know what? I don't even know, and I don't want to know, and I don't need to know. I don't need to know. Sometimes you get yourself in trouble with itching ears, and wanting to what happened over there? What did they do? You know, stuff like that. And I don't care who it is. You know, I'm gonna tell you one more thing before I close. Social media is a very toxic place. And I'm talking, what I mean by social media, I'm talking about Facebook, I'm talking about Instagram, I'm talking about whatever social media you use, whether it's TikTok. There are so many people on there that when a person is caught up in a sin, caught up in a fault, they might be, and it might be true. I'm not saying that, I'm not condoning anything that what anybody has done. I'm talking about whether it be a pastor or a leader or somebody that's some kind of influence, whether they're in entertainment or whatever. The first thing that you get on social media is you look at the comments. I have a habit of a lot of times when I see things that really are big and hit the internet and really start trending on the internet, whether it be on those sites that I told you about. So many people get to typing, get to talking about, oh yeah, you know, he gonna go down, or this is gonna happen to him or her or what have you. And they are just so quick to throw stones and cast judgments, and they're no more perfect than them. They're no more perfect than them. As a matter of fact, they probably have done the same thing, but just haven't gotten caught. And maybe because they have a bigger platform, or they have many followers, or whatever the case might be. And then these people are ready to just pull out the knives and really go at it. We shouldn't be glorifying in anything like that, first of all. We shouldn't be glorifying anything like that, whether the person has really truly done something wrong. It hurts my heart sometimes, to be honest with you. And this is also going along with the church. It hurts my heart to see when a leader in the church falls or is caught up in a fault. You know why? Because the people of the church, of the body, of that local body, they're also suffering. They're suffering because whether or not the person has either alleged to do something or has done something, it doesn't matter. They are hurting as well. And now what happens is either they have to leave and go to another church or maybe deciding whether they're going to stay at the church or be just stay there. Some of them are leaders and workers of the same ministry. And those of us that are outside of that, we should not want any of that. We should not want to see a person go down in flames like that. I know sometimes we have a tendency to want to see quote unquote justice happen, but we should be praying hard for that individual or that person that's caught up in a sin. We should be praying really hard for them. And in the hopes of whatever God decides to do, whatever is done, that is done in the best interest, not just for them, but also for those that are around them. We see it all the time. We see people get slanderized and get caught up in sin and caught up in some kind of allegation or something all the time, whether it be in a church, whether it be in politics, whether it be in anything we read about in the papers, in the newspapers or the internet. We see that, and we should not be the first one to get on the internet in the comment sections and say, oh yeah, they get what they get and all the other stuff. We shouldn't be doing that. That's nasty on our part. Let us be like what the Bible is saying here. Okay. Showing kindness and loving each other, you know, hate what is wrong. Hate what is wrong doesn't always mean that you're being mean and mean and angry on the internet or anything of that nature. Hate what is wrong, this means that you're grieved in what is happening and you don't want to see that. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. So all these things that Paul is bringing about here is very, very important for the body to stay healthy. When one of us is caught up in a fault, we should be praying for them. And so as I come to a close, I know this has been kind of lengthy, but I wanted to make sure that we understood this and hopefully you got a lot out of it. Please let me know what your thoughts are. Let me know what you got out of what Paul has been saying. He said so much in this letter in Romans chapter 12. And so please leave me a comment. Let me know what you thought about it. Let me know what your thoughts are. Also, let me know, for the first time I'm doing this at my job, actually during a break that I have and doing it out of my car. So again, I just wanted to do something different and see how this come out, how's the quality, that quality of the recording and whatnot. So again, thank you for listening, thank you for tuning in, and we're going to be continuing our journey through the book of Romans as we continue on. And don't forget we're getting closer and closer to Resurrection Sunday, so I would definitely probably be reading some devotions that are leading us toward Resurrection Sunday, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Until then, thank you again as always for tuning in, and I appreciate you. I love you. Be praying for me and this podcast as well, and I'll be talking to you soon. God bless you.